We open your word this morning. We pray that you would speak to us from it, that we might hear from you and hear from you be nourished in our faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, what'd you think of that story? Do you like that story? Yes? Good. I enjoyed it too. As I prepared this message on the sufficiency of Christ, and I wanted to build on the book of Ruth, I came into an awareness that it was simply not possible to do in one sermon, so I'm not going to even try. We'll have a little mini-series here on the sufficiency of Christ and Ruth, and hopefully that will be a blessing to you. Here's what I want you to get. At the beginning of the history of Israel, God took care of his people. He fed them morning and night, every day, for 40 years. The shoes on their feet did not wear out. Their clothes did not deteriorate. And God himself led them wherever they should go to find shelter and water and safety. 24/7, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, times 40 years. He provided, he guided, he protected, he taught, he fed, he clothed, and he nurtured them for 40 years. And there were about 2.5 to 3 million of them. And they, everyone got their happy meal every day. The sufficiency of God is like that. Get it? That's what it looks like. That's how big it is. How ample it is. We are talking about the sufficiency of God to meet the needs of his people. And after 40 years of this treatment, the people still didn't get it. They still didn't understand that their security was with God, in God, through God. And they immediately sought other gods, little toy gods, little idols that they could worship, gods that they could control. The sufficiency of God is illustrated by his care for them in the 40 years they were in the wilderness. How old are you? Don't answer me, ladies. I know I shouldn't be asking. And I'm not. How long have you been in the wilderness? How long has God taken care of you? Sight unseen, often unthanked. We go through life and God protects and cares and provides for us because he is sufficient. Absolutely sufficient to all of our needs. That's our God. That's the one we worship. Wow! Every step of the way, he has been with you. That's our God. He is sufficient. Now we come to the book of Ruth, and we see in a rapid clip, a rapid sequence of things, the sufficiency of God played out again. What we didn't read, the intro, says that God caused the famine. Catch that. And as a result of the famine that God caused, Elimelech and his wife and two sons fled to Moab, where there was food, and they sheltered there. God moved them to Moab. God provided food for them in Moab. God protected and guided and led them. And this is really important for us to hear, because in Moab, Naomi lost her husband and lost her two sons. And so she was a widow three times over, and God still provided for her. I'm not saying she was really happy to lose her husband. I have no idea. I suspect not. But in the midst of her grief and her turmoil and her struggle and her affliction and in her suffering, she never cursed God. She just complained a lot. That's something you probably shouldn't do, but she did. And in spite of that, I mean, the people of God complained all the way through the wilderness. God still provided for her. Still cared for her. And brought her home to Bethlehem to put the pieces of her life back together. According to his plan. According to his purpose. In his timing, and in his own way. And that's because he's God. He has that discretion with you. He has that discretion with me. We don't get to dictate the terms to God about how our journey's going to be. We can request that things be a little less difficult, but that doesn't mean they're going to get less difficult. But what it does mean is that whatever happens, he will be with you through it all. Because God is sufficient. I hope I've made my point. Because I want to move on now. Because what happens next is that Boaz shows up. We met him in the story this morning. And he begins to appropriate to himself some of the functions of the Godhead, some of the functions of God, some of the divine husband work of God, which all of us have benefit to. He began to appropriate those things in the life of Ruth. He began to protect her and provide for her, to guide her, to care for her, to nurture her. He began to appropriate what God does as a man, which is what every man is supposed to do. Every man is to pick up the mantle of protecting, providing, guiding, and nurturing. That's what it means to be a man. There are a lot of things out there that men do that are not manly. I want to talk about the manly things today. I want you to hear from God what it is that a man is called to do and be. Because it is a manifestation of God's sufficiency that the man in your life behave right. That he do what is godly. Okay. God shows his sufficiency on his own. And God shows his sufficiency through us. Yes, he does. He ministers through us to get done the things that God intends to have done. He wants us to know his love through each other. He wants us to know his protection through each other. He wants us to know his provision through each other. As the church, we are called to love one another. Wow. So Boaz begins to pick this piece up, and Naomi, being one of the brighter bulbs on the tree, sees what's going on and says, oh, look at this. Here's a man who knows how to be a man, and he's behaving like a man towards my daughter-in-law. I wonder if I can warm things up a little bit. Maybe I could get the two of them together. So she plays the matchmaker. She does. I'm sure she prayed. I'm sure they both prayed. And she sees that Boaz is wanting to be everything that Ruth needs him to be. And she says, so why don't we call a spade a spade? How long is it going to take us to study this horseshoe? And they get introduced to each other for the purpose of marriage. Does God do that for every woman? Yes. Does he do that for every man? Yes. So actually, we look at this and we try to find all kinds of holes and exceptions and things that stop. God loves his children. And he is sufficient in that regard to take care of you. So Boaz is technically the kinsman redeemer. That means he's the next of kin. He has an obligation by blood. He has an obligation by family. He has an obligation by custom. He has an obligation by God to be a man and do what men should do. You should pray for men. They have a lot to do. If they're going to do what God wants them to do, they need your prayers. Okay. Now, ladies, I know you do a lot. And I know you need prayers too. But I'm not talking about you right now. I'm talking about him. And what I want us to see is that as Boaz takes on this kinsman redeemer role, he is a foretelling, a prefiguring, or a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if you pick up on how significant this is, but Boaz was related by blood to Elimelech, and therefore he's related to Naomi by marriage and by family. Got that? They're related. The next of kin is supposed to be looking after the kin. And so Jesus is related to us by blood, and Jesus is related to us by family. Have you picked up on that? He came in the flesh and became like one of us, that he might be our kinsman redeemer. That means we've all got one. We've all got the same one. We've all got the one who is sufficient to be our redeemer. Is that crystal clear? So the sufficiency of God, which was picked up and manifested by Boaz, the sufficiency of God in Boaz is manifested in Jesus, the sufficiency of the Father in the Son. The sufficiency of God is manifest in these things. What a wonderful Savior we have. He is worthy. I think that's it. May the Lord bless this message to you. May you be encouraged. And may you be stimulated to pray for one another. Seriously. Pray for our marriages. Pray for our singles. Pray for our children. Pray for our family. God is really into family. And you are His family. Amen.